there's no better feeling than a personal win. And the State Farm Personal Price Plan can help you do just that. Talk to a State Farm agent today to learn how you can bundle and save with the Personal Price Plan. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Prices are based on rating plans that vary by state. Coverage options are selected by the customer. Availability, amount of discounts and savings, and eligibility vary by state.
Ah yes, the magnificent Trolley Sour Bright Crawler, also known as Trollicus Brightolus. The worm's captivating neon colour makes it an easy gummy prey.
Trolley!
It's a surprisingly sour, invitingly chewy, staggeringly snackable species unlike anything else found on this planet.
Eat me!
Delicious. Visit Trolley.com to shop now.
Trolley, eat me!
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to my travel podcast, Life's a Beach. Every week I invite a special guest to take us on a journey together to their favourite holiday destinations and to reveal their top travel tips and tales.
Is there a doctor on board?
Yes, there is. Well, sort of. He is best known as author of the number one best-selling book, This Is Gonna Hurt, and undoctored the story of a medic who ran out of patience and now has a podcast with Matt Edmondson, the list of absolutely everything that Mike Kenyon, available now. TV writer, author, comedian, and former doctor, is Adam Cash. This is the final boarding call for Adam Kay. This is the final boarding call for Adam Kay. Final boarding call for Adam Kay. This is the final boarding call for Adam Kay. Adam Kay. Thank you.
Welcome on board, it's Adam Kay. How you doing, Adam?
Oh, I'm all right.
Thank you for choosing Alan Air. There's a lot of competition out there, but I'm so pleased you chose to fly with us. Thank you.
It was just desperately cheap. Three changes, but comes in on 200 quid.
You get
unhappy.
There eventually next week, but hey, we're going to make it. What are you like as a traveller?
Oh, I'm great. Really good. No trouble here. My husband, however, constantly thinks he's going to die.
We're going to get onto your podcast in a minute, but yes, he's terrified of flying, isn't he?
Yes. So when I'm on a flight, I'm mostly being like an emotional support dog sort of thing. Yeah. And so he'll be saying, "What's that noise?" I was like, "I don't know. It's just someone binging for a drink. I don't know." Every sound he hears, he assumes is like the wheels falling off or some sort of.
Let's actually talk about, because honestly, it's my new favourite podcast. It is, it's morbidly funny. And if I'm quite an anxious person anyway. So you finish one and then they're so Moorish, aren't you? And you're like, I wonder if bees are more, you know, will kill you more than like a lawnmower. Because your podcast is called The List of Everything That Might Kill You, and you do it with Matt Edmondson. And the one that got me was the flying versus sharks.
Oh, yeah.
Now, not only is it really funny, but it also gives you some really interesting statistics as well. Now, I always believed that if you stayed at the back of the plane, if it crashed, you were likely to live. But that's not true, is it? It doesn't matter where you sit.
No, ideally, the plane doesn't crash. I think for a whole staying alive situation, that's what you've got to go for. It sort of depends where the plane crashes and how. So there isn't like the safe place. One thing I did learn, one of the few things you can actually do to help with survival is the brace position actually works. It's like a thing.
Yes, because then I heard that you just do that to protect your teeth for the dental records. Did you know that?
I didn't know that.
Yes. But...
Speaking to all these like flight safety people, that if you do a proper good brace position, you stand more of a chance of sort of hobbling off the plane.
Yeah.
And in fact, they say that at the start of your flight, you should just have a couple of practice goes of the brace position. But that's going to freak out the people sitting next to you, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think that caused more trouble than it's worth.
Yeah, but I can't lose my COVID weight, so I've actually got a pair of jugs now. So I can't actually do the brace because of my tits. Is that good? Is that bad?
Sure, let's say it's good. Why not?
But then what about the one? Because explain the podcast before I go. But God, you have to explain it.
Okay, so
I chat over people, but I just want people to know what it's like.
So it's a show and tell. So me and Matt each bring a thing that we think is fairly deadly.
Yeah.
And then we talk through our findings.
Yeah.
And at the end, a statistician comes along and tells us who was right and what's the deadliest.
Yeah.
So like if we're talking about the office environment, I brought along vending machines.
Yeah.
And he thought lifts.
Yeah.
And turns out lifts.
Yeah, yeah, because that was a good one, because it was like, I didn't think lifts were that deadly, but people being decapitated, and then that woman who was stuck in the lift for 8 days.
Yeah.
And all she ate was tomatoes. That's going to stink.
It's really going to stink. Also, if you get stuck in a lift, at what point do you decide it's fine to shit in the corner? Because, you know, if it's only been like half an hour and you're like, well, that's it, we're going feral. And then the fire brigade arrive 1 minute later, that's just embarrassing.
Yeah.
Be there the length of an episode of Neighbours.
And she'd taken some tomatoes in. That's what made me laugh. And then also with vending machines, because this is the joy of the podcast. You know, because sharks, it's not that bad, is it, sharks? Because I'm scared of sharks myself. That's not so bad. But then vending machines, really quite deadly, aren't they? People have lost a toe.
More than that, they've lost in everything. Yeah, vending machines are.
I'm trying to keep it light, Adam.
Oh, sorry.
So, no, one time someone got a really bad headache. there's lots of deadly stuff like that. But the planes, that was quite a difficult episode to keep light. But there were some like terrifying stories. Like there was an aircraft, everyone was flying off, and then the roof just flew off. And anyone who wasn't properly strapped in, that was that. They didn't get sucked off.
No.
They got sucked away,
which is
a different thing.
I'll just try for a cheap gag.
Sorry, you see
what I sucked off?
Yeah.
It can mean other things.
And there was a pilot who was, driving the thing, and they just had the windscreen replaced, but, you know, Autoglass hadn't done a proper job, and they missed out a couple of screws, and they were sort of just flying over Malaga or whatever, and the whole glass just flew out.
And they were sucked off.
And they were sucked off.
Sorry.
And the co-pilot jerked as hard as he could, but the poor pilot was banging and banging and banging. Do we just do this for an hour?
Okay, fine.
The pilot had been sort of, he was now sort of exterior, and everyone, you know, was folding his arms and legs and trying to keep him inside. And he was smashing up against it. And they were like, well, this is bad, but we can't let go. So otherwise he's going to fly into the engine and then we're all going to die.
Mm.
And so they were holding on to this poor guy who was smashing against this for, you know, until they landed. And then the bloke was fine.
Yeah.
So it's just as well they didn't let go.
And then what about the one, because it was like the flying versus lightning.
Yeah.
And then lightning killed, one strike killed 83 people, but it was in a plane.
Yeah. So
how do you see it? There's some grey areas, but it's absolutely fascinating, honestly. And I love all those statistics. But I was going to ask you, you know, we live in a world now where people are very offended and stuff. I mean, are there, I think you actually mentioned on one of them that you can't really mention something just in case people are alive or it was their relative. I mean, you do make light. I mean, there was that woman killed at the Dodgers. She was hit on the head with the baseball. And you went, oh, I guess she didn't dodge enough. I mean, are you a bit, are you a bit worried that the people are going to write and complain?
No, because they're dead.
No, the fact.
Oh, right.
slagged off by a Ouija board.
So yeah, as a rule of thumb, we try
now
to keep things
smart.
We tried to keep things historical enough that no one was going to send antsy emails. But it's more than just it's a public safety broadcast,
it is,
basically.
Yes.
So it's not just why do people die if they during bullfights, it's how do you avoid that? I mean, that's an easy one. That's, don't become a bullfighter. Fucking idiotic thing to do. But so it's like, if the shark is coming towards, you, what do you do to stay alive? And the answer is you really badly injure the person you're swimming with and then swim away really fast and they'll get them.
Because there's one about unprovoked attacks. I mean, why provoking a shark and unprovoking? I mean, it's a very grey area, but it is absolutely fascinating.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. We're about to fly into the side of a mountain. If you would like to take the brace position, you'll have a 50% chance of survival. If you don't take the brace position, you'll have a 50% chance of dying. Hope that's helpful. Thank you. Cross-check the manual.
Where did you go on holiday as a kid? Did you like going on holiday? Did you go on holiday?
Yeah, so I was one of four kids, and we would pile into the Volvo estate. It was like an estate car, and there was two seats in the back, sort of, that's just sort of like glued into the boot, so facing outwards. And then every sort of cubic millimetre of the car was filled up with all the detritus you need to go. And we would drive for what had to be 6 or 7 months to Eurocamp somewhere in France.
Oh, right.
And I think had a reasonably miserable time.
Well, that's good. I'm glad to hear that.
It's not really... it's sort of, if you go to one of those places, my memory is there was nothing French about it remotely. It had like the French
like a
Café
Rouge.
Exactly.
This is pretending to be France.
It wasn't even pretending that. As hard as the Café Rouge. Because Café Rouge at least had two French words in the title. Eurocamp could have been anywhere.
Did you have any holiday romances? I'm just here stroking this dog like a James Bond baddie.
I'm so jealous of how well-behaved your dog is.
I know.
Mine would, at this point, have eaten the microphone, mauled the guest.
Yeah. Do you have any holiday romance?
As a child?
Well, no, as an adolescent.
What is this show?
No, when you're old or when you're a teenager, 12, 13. That's still too young. 14, 15. I didn't have any fucking romance. I don't even know when you're supposed to feel romantic. Still haven't had any romance.
Don't think I did. I just sort of, I've had romance since.
Oh, I know. I just wanted to know. I mean, I didn't know.
But yes, looked very pityingly at me.
Oh. No, what a shame. What's been your most decadent travel experience? Have you ever been in a private jet?
I've never been in a private jet. Have you been in a private jet?
No, I haven't. Have you had a pillow menu?
I've had a pillow menu.
All right. Yeah.
Most decadent holiday. We went to Iceland and we went to a hotel called The Retreat. You've been there.
It is amazing.
So good. It's a 10 out of 10 hotel.
Oh my God. Yes. Amazing.
And we had one of the rooms where you get your own little lagoon.
Oh,
and then they turned on the northern lights for us. And we were drinking champagne in this lagoon, thinking, wow, this'll do.
Yeah.
And I think we can afford to go there once every 40 to 50 years. So looking forward to the next time.
Oh, yeah. I took my brother for it was his big birthday. And so we'd all wanted to go to Iceland. We went there. I mean, it is something else, isn't it?
It's just
amazing.
Yeah,
I mean, and it's just otherworldly. It's like a James Bond lair almost, isn't it?
Absolutely incredible. And we're of an age, and you go on holiday and you sort of think you understand what the world looks like and the different variants of what a holiday can look like. It's like nowhere. You might as well be on the moon. It's so... other and brilliant.
Yes, yeah, yeah.
And we went, like, we were on snowmobiling on glaciers and swimming between tectonic plates, and it was just wonderful.
Well, I got fat shamed, not in the hotel, but outside, believe it or not. My brother is big boned like me, quite bigger boned. And then I got
sick. Did you just fat shame him?
I fat shamed him. Well, everyone else is. Everyone else in Iceland, they fat shamed me and him. And I got scared on the glaciers. Oh, Gary, can I jump on the back of your snowplow?
Yeah.
Get off, too heavy. How rude. And that happened to me once in a camel in Marrakesh. But I refuse to lose weight.
If the occasional camel has to die, so be it.
No, he's already got a couple of humps. Third one ain't going to hurt. So that is, have you ever been anywhere that's been a bit disappointment? Now, we're not naming and shaming here, but, you know, has there been somewhere where the weather's been a bit rubbish, you got dodgy tummy?
I'm a vegetarian. And not every...
Sorry. Not like I'm eating like a... Hog, I'm having a hog roast.
Yes.
I'm stroking a dog.
Stroking a dog.
I'm vegetarian.
Vegetarian.
How long have you been veggie for?
Since I was about 4. So I'm quite committed.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. So I've just sort of... I think it's like a wiring problem. My brain has never liked the taste of meat. And now I can pretend it's all for the sort of the reasons you're meant to be vegetarian. Yeah. I just like, doesn't work for me.
Oh, that's fine.
Not every, even like the swanky wanky hotels can deal with it.
No.
And like you end up with the mushroom risotto 5 nights in a row.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I've had a few of those.
Have you ever had to have meat because abroad there's just...
Because otherwise I'd have starved to death.
Yes.
Like I was... Yeah, we crashed on this desert island and we... we had to eat the other passengers. And embarrassingly got rescued 30 minutes later.
Listen. No, hear me out. No, because, you know, my friend was... a vegetarian and we went to Tunisia and then the goat curry come out.
Yeah.
And then she ordered back and then the man had clearly just taken the bits of goat out and put it better. So but she never gave in. She just had a packet of hula hoops.
Yeah.
But they're veggie, aren't they?
They are, yeah, Tunisian classic. I think Europe's
hula
a lot.
Hoop couscous. It was
Europe's a lot better than it was for being vegetarian. There was like when I was, you know, going on childhood holidays. I think
what about Eurocam?
Yeah, I mean there was a lot of frites and not much else. But I think in France in the 80s, if you say you're vegetarian, they think, what does that mean? Doesn't eat horse, you know, and you still get. And also, lots of countries, the only reason that the posh Western tourist. You know, of course they'd eat meat. Yeah. The only reason you don't eat meat is if you can't afford meat. So I remember a few meals where I'd sort of carefully described that I just wanted the couscous and I didn't want the goat. Yeah. And then the goat would still arrive just on the side in case I changed my mind halfway through.
That's not really a good gateway meat, is it? If you are a vegetarian and you're thinking...
No one says that. I was hungover and someone was frying goat downstairs. Occasionally, I have eaten like meat a couple of times, but
because we'd been all coming out now. Yes. The Life's a Beach podcast. I get the answers people want. No, no. What have you had?
So, like, we'll be in some swanky restaurant, and they'll be famed for their, you know, whatever it is. These are the finest shrimp in all of the whatever. And then I'll be like, I'll have a go, and it's just like, no, it still doesn't work. Mm. So it's like I hate whiskey, and sometimes someone will be, oh, no, it's because you haven't tried the white whiskey. I have tried the white whiskey, they're all repulsive.
Yeah.
And I was like, no, you need this one. I was like, nope, still repulsive.
Yeah. When you're abroad, do you ever get dicky tummy or brown rain? You don't because you're a vegetarian? Because everyone goes, oh, I never ate meat, I didn't have any trouble.
No, I think that's a good... But I've got quite a robust gastrointestinal tract.
Oh, that's wonderful.
It's the strongest muscle in my body.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Lovely.
And it's...
I got a picture like that tug of war, you know, the world's strongest man.
Yeah, undefeated.
Now, You're not a doctor now, are you?
I'm not a doctor.
So someone shouts out on the plane, like a plane like we're on now.
Oh, yeah, this one.
Say someone goes, oh, is there a doctor? Legally, where do you stand? Do you say, I am a doctor, but...
I say I am a doctor. I worked on labour wards.
As they're slowly dying.
13 years ago.
I am a doctor.
And I've had 15 Bloody Marys.
Yeah.
You know, we've only...
And
only,
some goat.
We've only just...
You and know, goat. I'm very hungover.
Cruising altitude. And, I think... I
legally,
would perform
do you have to say you are a doctor?
I think morally, whoever you
maybe,
are,
morally
if you're in a position to help the person who's choking to death or you need a bit of the old CPR, then you know, I think I'm quite a magnet for a medical emergency. So yeah. Quite often I'll be the first person, you know, when someone's been knocked off their bike.
Oh,
I mean the second person. I mean the first person knocked them off the bike. I'm the, so you know there's a yeah. there's a bit of that, but. I can't say, you know, they say, oh, you were a doctor. And I say, well, I mean, ish. And sort of, and you see the panic in their eyes. What does ish mean?
Doctor of life.
Exactly.
Oh, God. Have you ever been on holiday and there's been a celebrity at your hotel or on your flight or at the breakfast buffet? Do you holiday with Matt? Your podcast co-host?
No, very much not.
You clearly are very much in common, but I know he likes the Marvel movie. He doesn't drink, does he? And all
doesn't
that.
Drink.
So yes.
So no, we'd have a terrible holiday. The designated driver.
Yeah.
I mean, there's been a couple of things. Are we able to bleep a name out?
Yes, of
okay.
course.
Okay. So I'm going to say the name, and we're going to bleep it.
Yeah,
out.
Don't worry.
So that. I went on a flight. I had to go to an awards thing in the States, and I was sat next to, because I wasn't paying for the flight. I was up in the bit that or whoever he is was in, and they give you like free Wi-Fi on one device. And I was on my laptop, and I'd signed up for the one device free Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
And then to get the free Wi-Fi, you have to put in your surname and your seat number.
Yeah.
And I was like, I want to use my phone as well because I need to be doing my typing and my tech. And I was like, I know his surname and his seat number. So I'm just going to put him in and have a second device. And then 2 seconds later, he wakes up, gets his phone out and is like, bing, bing, bing. I'm really sorry. It's really sorry to bother you. But my Wi-Fi is not working. And they're like, oh, I'm really sorry. Let's have a go ourselves. And like, oh, no. Fast. Reset the system. So.
Oh.
Eventually he got, you know, he got online, so all's well that ends well. So that was that was quite embarrassing. Looking the other way. And what else? Other celebrity. I went on. We were in Florida, and some friends of ours who don't need bleeping out, Jane and Jonathan Ross, were out there at the same time, and they love their Disney.
And they love Disney, don't they?
They love Disney.
Who doesn't?
And, well, me, loads of other people. But they were like, you're not so far. You know, do you want to come and do a couple of days of the theme parks? I don't like a roller coaster, and you know.
Is it because you're a doctor and you know what could happen?
There's 80% chance I get decapitated.
Well, you
and
know all
like
these
that.
Statistics. Yeah. Has it affected your mental health doing this podcast?
I think it's made me a bit calmer because actually I was naming all these things on the podcast that's got to be mega fatal, and it turns out you're probably fine.
Yeah,
So I don't think. No, I think it's been relatively...
Because planes
been
were
right.
so good.
They're
planes
so good. Yeah, I got a plane here today. Yeah, yeah. Chiswick. Safest way to get here. And so we went round Disney with Jane and Jonathan. And turns out, if you're that level of famous, you don't have to do as much queuing. And you can go around, there's this sort of VIP sort of thing.
Wonderful.
And they just take you around. The theme park takes like half an hour. I was like, my previous experience had been like, so you queue for 3 hours, sort of go on this sort of nauseating 20 second ride. But no, that was great. So all I have to do now is become as famous as Jonathan Ross and start liking theme parks, and then my life's sorted.
Oh my God, listen, love, you're on Life's a Beach. You're going to be like Bailey, be like Beyonce. If she was a doctor, Dr. Beyonce.
We are travelling a little bit behind schedule today, ladies and gentlemen, so please put on your seatbelts and scream if you want to go faster.
Do you ever complain abroad at hotels and stuff like that? And if so, what gets you go? I've said it before, I'll say it again. I don't like a dirty robe. No, you know when you got the robe and it smells.
The only thing that gets my Tunisian goat with couscous
on a bed of hula hoops.
On a bed of hula hoops is when you check in and they say, oh, sorry, we've got you down for a double. Did you want a twin room? And I have to explain the concept of homosexuality and that it's absolutely fine. And or when they, I mean, this makes me a slight sort of customer services, you know, wanker. But you know, you get into the room, they know that, you know, it's two boys and there's one large bathrobe and one sort of XX. Small yes, bathrobe, yes. And it's sort of the heteronormativity of yes, hotels, yeah. And so and or when we've
because the wife might be fat. What about that? They could have a fat wife or a fat husband.
Yes, or both.
The world. Yes,
and so that, I mean that's the only time when my when it all sort of bubbles up. And there was, in fact, there was one time we were up in Edinburgh, and they'd done a big sort of to do, really really checking that one bed was fine and we didn't want to, and I had a drink and I wrote the pissy email to the manager, and they were, exactly, and then I got a reply saying that's absolutely not on, that's not how we strive to be, we're hugely exclusive, and I was, that was great, and said let us make this better. And then we got back to the room the next day, and there was a bottle of champagne and a card that says, "Dear Mr. and Mrs. K."
Oh, God.
We hope this makes sense. So, what's going on?
I had the complete opposite the other, where I treated my mum, she had a big birthday, and I took her on safari. We go there, open the door, big double bed, Alan and Christine written in rose petals. As I go, you know, people are going to look at that man, look at that woman and her clearly homosexual husband.
She must be loaded.
She must be, he's so young. Oh, dear. What are you like for knickknacks? Do you get swayed by stuff like that? Will you, like, see some fisherman's trousers or a poncho or a fridge magnet and then get it home and go, what the hell was I thinking?
No. Because, you know, my house doesn't look like this. I don't put tat everywhere. No.
What, like this?
Yes.
You're saying my house looks like tat? We're on a plane.
Oh, sorry. My aeroplane doesn't look like this.
This isn't tat. This is objet d'art.
Is it? I'm not cultured enough. But, I mean, some of that's come from Fuerteventura.
Fuck you.
Really?
Fuck you.
Really? That lion bookend.
That's
was 40p. No one would buy that on Bargain Hunt. No offence.
Wow.
To all of your stuff.
Wow. People come on this show, they go, what a lovely house, you come
in. Oh no, the house is lovely, this is what you've done with it.
Is there an ejector seat in this plane?
I don't know, and I don't buy that sort of, the stuff you're into.
What's your house look like? Shithole.
No, it's just got like some normal things in, like some
come
furniture.
Come on, describe it. Let me have a chance to slag that off.
Come round and do it in person. Come round for some goat and whiskey.
And I'll come and say, where's Mrs. K? I really wind you up there.
I'll tell you what I love in a hotel, and this is the best thing a hotel can do, and it must cost them like 50p, is when it's got the free minibar. Like there's a free Toblerone. Suddenly, I'm like, that's the best hotel I've ever been
in. Yeah. I mean, I like it, but I think they should always have water in there. Sometimes they don't have water, and then you have to have like the little miniature vodka because you're dehydrated.
Yes, you're dehydrated. Then he pours in a storm. Yes.
Now, listen, you're 100 years old. You've still got all your faculties. Where do you want to be in the world?
Ooh.
Anywhere in the world.
Ooh. I love Santorini. That's my favourite place in Europe.
Oh, my brother got married there.
Did he? Did you go? Did he heard all your fat shaming by then and you're uninvited?
We stood on the cliff and it snapped off. It's now its own Greek island. We must go on a diet. No, it was wonderful. But the priest had a speech impediment, which is fine. We're not shaming here or anything. He's called Gary and his wife's called Carly. And it was, do you go to Carly to be married? Like this, honestly, it was like classic. But it was such a gorgeous, beautiful day. It's stunning, isn't it?
It's absolutely, it's like a painting of a Greek island, all the whites and blues. And
But then have you seen those Instagram, how do they get those photos? Because it is like Piccadilly Circus at sunset. Those influencers, you know, when they stand there, they're alone in Santorini with the sunset. And then you go there, it's heaving with Instagrammers.
I think you went to the wrong hotel.
What do you mean?
Well, the one I go to, it's just, you know, it's
there's
just
no crowds.
No, well, not in my room.
Oh, you have a, oh, you see, I was on the other side of the island. Oh, God, sorry, love.
There's an amazing hotel cut into the cliff edge.
I didn't know about this.
Oh, yeah. Well, next time, you know. Yeah, well. And it's
you get the view. You get
the
that
view and a little plunge pool looking out infinitely onto that.
Oh, you see, I was down the other end. I'm with a load of influencers and selfie sticks.
And tiger.
Yeah, people pouncing and, oh, shit. You stayed at some nice hotels, the Retreat and that. Very nice. Are you a bit of a hotel snob? Do you like your hotels?
Is that
what
you do?
That's what I spend my money on. Well, clearly exactly not in Santorini.
I
was in a static caravan on the other side.
No, it's one of my, it was my top extravagance, yeah, is the nice hotel. And also like the choosing, you know, the sort of, you know, the looking at all the, oh, I loved looking at TripAdvisor.
But my pet hay is when you look on the website for the hotel and there's a pot and some fruit. And you're like, well, no, I want to see the room.
Yeah, show me the room. Yeah.
What a lovely pot. Yeah.
So what I love doing is we find the most amazing hotel and we think this is going to be perfect. Mm. And you go on TripAdvisor and you take one star reviews only. Yeah.
Oh,
and then seeing what miserable, bitter people have found wrong with this, you know, and it's about the size of the spheres of caviar.
Yeah, but then you get some
or it rained or something.
I know, and then someone complaining about Stonehenge because there's not like toilet facilities. You're like, come on.
I mean, Stonehenge is rubbish.
Oh, I know. Knock it down. Turn into a Leon. One of my favourite one-star review is, I won't say where, but it...
You can bleep it.
No, it was like one star, rats in capital. I can hear them coming through the headboard. And this is before it was a dump, but we were on tour and my plans changed and there was a big festival in... It was in the Midlands, a big festival, and there was nowhere near to, and I went, oh, come on. And I said to my tour manager, we've got to see, because I always do the one star. Who fucked the five stars?
Yeah.
I always do the one star. Yeah. And I just spat my tea out. Rats! I can hear them coming through the headboard.
Oh, yeah, I love that sort of thing. There was a, I lived for ages in Chiswick in West London, and there was a Michelin-starred restaurant there, and they had their food hygiene, and they got one star.
No,
so
no.
They had the same number of hygiene stars and Michelin stars, and they had to close down. And like, so I think at one star, it's literally the film Ratatouille, isn't it? The rats are the ones making the soup.
One star, that's like... Basically, human feces on a plate, is it?
Yeah, I'd say so.
It's like a rat serves you.
Yes, but they serve your tasting menu. Yeah.
This is your captain speaking. We are on our final approach to our destination. Cabin crew, get ready for landing. Cabin crew, get ready for landing.
Well, listen, we're about to start our descent into Santorini.
Oh, thank God for that.
I know, it's been a long flight. But before we go, I've got time for the quick fire round, okay? Amazon Prime or Amazon Hike?
But hang on, what's Amazon Hike?
Well, would you rather go for a walk or...
Oh, I see what you mean.
Yeah, it doesn't really make sense,
oh, yes.
But they've both got Amazon in it.
I just assumed it was this new service where someone comes in comfortable shoes and brings you your shopping. Amazon Prime, yes.
Will you sort of go, do you know what, I won't have a walk around the resort. I'm just going to sit and watch The Crown.
Oh, my favourite holiday, basically, I don't leave the room.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so I've got the view, I've got room service.
Yeah.
I've got a husband I'm still on pretty much speaking terms with.
Yeah.
And we just stay there. Because then you don't have to see any people.
Yes.
And that can often ruin a holiday.
And then Santorini, you just open the curtains and you've got that bloody...
Yeah, infinite view. Infinite view. So, yeah, no, absolutely stay where you are.
Mojito or mint tea?
Oh, mojito. Yeah, and with an extra shot of... rum.
Nudist or not on your Nelly? Have you ever skinny dipped?
No. No one needs that.
No one, okay.
No one, on either side of the equation needs
that. No infinite view of that.
That's going to be a lot of one-star TripAdvisor reviews coming the way of the retreat.
And
furthermore, I was, inverted commas, treated to the site.
And last but not least, tip 'em or fuck 'em. Do you tip 'em or do you think, fuck you, I'll never see you again?
I tip, just because they're in a position where they can piss in my food.
And on that note, if you'd like to collect your emotional baggage from the carousel, thank you, Adam Kay.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for flying Alan Air.
Thanks, Adam. That was so much fun. And remember, you can check out his brand new podcast with Matt Edmondson, the list of absolutely everything that might kill you. It is so much more fun than the title suggests. I absolutely love it. It's available now. And if you're going on holiday, why not pick up a copy of Adam's This Is Gonna Hurt or Undoctored, his brilliant books there. Why not buy both? Thank you so much for listening. We never take it for granted. Alan Eyre is here for you. And don't you ever forget, life's a beach.